Hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And this week's episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical, we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship in the family. We're going to talk about the family business concept and how that has worked out for us, and maybe give you some encouragement to ask yourself the question.
You know, I grew up in an entrepreneurial family.
Yes, you did.
A really entrepreneurial family.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just natural for me that our family life and our business life was kind of all wrapped up together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in fact, by the time you and I got married, I remember I didn't want us to be in business. Mm-hmm. Even though I had a really good time growing up and I have happy memories looking back. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know, people work all the time when they're entrepreneurs, when they're mm-hmm. business people. And I thought it'd be really nice for you to work 9 to 5 and be done with work.
Now, see, that mindset was very much how I grew up. My father worked for a large corporation. He worked a very steady 9 to 5 kind of job. And, you know, it was very well defined what was work time and what was family time and when we could take vacation and when we could not. And it was all very predictable and stable. And, of course, now the corporation he worked for was sometimes known out in business as the permanent employment company. It was very reliable, very stable, very loyal to its employees. Now, when we got out of the service, because I went into the military for a few years right after our marriage, when we got out into civilian life, we found that civilian business had changed.
Times had changed, and employment was a lot less stable. You know, at any moment, somebody could walk into your office and say, clean out your desk, we're laying off people. And you know, you're an engineer, so yeah. You know, it happens to engineers, it happens to everybody.
Well, I think what changed is back during the 80s, there was a big shift. Prior to that time, you basically had small businesses, you know, family businesses, stores and whatnot, or you had major corporation, you know, smokestack industries. You had big manufacturing. And during the 80s, we saw the rise of the information economy, where suddenly, you know, you work in the paper industry like I did, and if you make 5% profit that year, everybody celebrates. That's a banner wow. year. But then you bring in somebody like a Microsoft or a Data General or Digital Equipment Corporation or something, and you see that their profit margins are more like 20-25% or better. Suddenly the economic picture starts to swing and look at other things to invest in, and the old smokestack industries and manufacturing just weren't the safe haven they once were.
Yeah, the thing that got me, Hal, even more than the uncertainty, was the time. I mean, you would work 60 hours a week some weeks, and mm-hmm. But as a salaried engineer, you got paid not 1 cent more. And see, that torqued me off, because I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. If you worked harder, you made more money.
Right. Yeah.
And so the idea of working harder and not making more money, it was offensive to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know any better. I just knew that I was working a lot of hours. But I don't want to be totally down on the idea of being a salaried employee. I mean, there are benefits.
Yeah, like knowing you're going to have a paycheck next week.
Yeah, and understanding that sometimes you have a little bit more flexibility during the work week. If you need a dentist appointment, a lot of times you can just say, you know, just ask your supervisor, hey, can I take this afternoon off and go get my teeth drilled? And they don't count that against you if it's not something you do every other day. But on the
So there are benefits, you know, but you know, I started craving the freedom we'd had growing up.
Really?
Yeah. You know, the freedom to say, you know, we need family time. Let's take a day off.
Right.
You know, let's take a vacation during the off times of the year.
See, that was a totally unexplored idea to me. You know, when you talked about your family just deciding we're going to make an expedition, we're going to go to Alaska one time, and just decide, all right.
Yeah, I come from an adventurous family.
Well, I mean, to just be able to say, well, we have managers in place to keep the stores open, and so we're going to just take off and do this as a family treat. You know, that was radical. We didn't, you know, we weren't locked down. When I was growing up, we weren't locked down into the typical textile mill schedule of, you know, 4th of July is, you know, the only time you get off all year, 4th of July and Christmas. But rather, you know, we were still locked into the school calendar, too. I mean, that's another thing. I think as you approach life as a homeschooler, you get used to this idea, this ideal of ultimate flexibility.
Well, you got to know my family.
Yeah.
My family was unimpressed with the school calendar.
Mm-hmm.
My family decided to take off, and they would come and have a talk with the principal, and we would take off for 2 weeks
in the middle
of the year. Did
you really? Yes. Wow. Wow. You're always finding a way to work this out, aren't you? That's cool.
Well, I just have parents who did not think inside the box at all.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know where the box was. Yeah. And, I crave that flexibility again, the freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so we began our own business. And, it was a rocky start at first. I mean, we spent basically all of our retirement.
Yeah. Well, new endeavor, new idea. We were trying out something which I had never done before. And I thought, I learn well. I can do different things. It took a couple of years to realize this is not one of the things I'm going to learn very well. It just didn't suit me personality-wise, I think. But
and then when the God led us to the business that we're in now, that has been such a blessing and so much fun.
Yeah.
That we're very well suited for. I mean, it's like we're made for it.
Well, and that's an important thing. And, perhaps we could talk about that for a minute. One thing that impressed me from the earlier experience, I see people doing this a lot, or I hear people talking about it. They have a vision. We want Dad to come home. We want to have a family business so Dad can work from home and we have those extra hours. Now, what can we do? What can we do? Think. And they'll fasten on something that they read in Entrepreneur Magazine or some franchise offer that comes in and jump out into something which, maybe they can make work, maybe they can't, but they don't grow into something naturally and organically. And I think that was a big difference for us, because the first time we tried to start a business, I was thinking, well, I'll learn this concept, this business, which I really have no experience in, but I'll make it work. And that didn't work out so well. The second thing that God gave us just kind of grew organically.
Yeah.
That it was something.
It grew from what we were doing anyway.
Right.
And I think that's something that you really ought to think about when you're thinking about a business is, what would you do what do you do whether you're paid for it or not?
I remember thinking as I was starting to loosen my hold on the corporate idea, I remember thinking, well, if I didn't have to earn money, or if I was just paid, if I was paid my current salary, but I could choose what to do, what would I like to do? Well, what, as I look around, what kind of ideas, ministries, businesses, or whatever do I see that I would naturally go into? And I looked at the time being very active in nonprofit organizations, working with our state homeschool organization and such. I thought, man, if it was some, if I were paid, if I had that opportunity and, didn't have to worry about the level of income and the rest of that, I would love to do this because I do it as a volunteer. I love dealing with these people and I could feel a passion for that kind of thing. Well, that opportunity didn't come up, but the opportunity to deal with this kind of people on some of these kind of issues did arise in the business that we eventually landed in. And so that's maybe one of our first things that we'd recommend. If you're thinking about the possibility of starting a family business, look around and see, what is it that you do anyway? What is it that you know anyway? What's something that you have a passion for and know about your potential customers or clientele, however you see it? And then ask yourself, well, could God open that door up?
And is there anything that I could do further or better that people would pay for? And when you're experienced with something, you're going to know what those things are, because
mm-hmm.
you will have thought them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If someone would just do this, I would pay them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If someone would just create this, I would buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got insight into the things that you love anyway. And those are things you ought to look at. One of the best things about being an entrepreneurial family
mm-hmm.
is what it's done for our relationship with our children.
Well, that's a good thing. Maybe we should talk about that for a bit. What we started as our, if you will, our second attempt at starting a business, really we backed into it because we have been talking for many years. We've been giving presentations at churches and support groups and things about the challenge and the blessing of raising sons, because God blessed us with six boys one after another, and people noticed. People started to ask questions. And one of the things that rose out of that after many years of speaking was we wrote our first book, Raising Real Men.
And it was kind of a surprise to us, because we were picturing when we first wrote it that this would just be something we'd put on the table when we spoke around the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord just exploded it. We took it to a conference and we sold out like within 15 minutes.
Right.
And we started getting back endorsements from big Christian leaders like Ted Tripp and Doug Wilson and Mike Smith and, you know, Chris Click endorsing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew us away, because the Lord just seemed to boot us in business, because when you got cancer, basically all your engineering stuff dried up. You were doing consulting engineering at the time.
Right, right. And so the point was, we started out with a product. We had written a book and realized that this could, not only could the book be a ministry, but the process of putting a book into paper covers, you know, the publication process.
Of doing an excellent job. Lots of people self-publish,
yeah.
But you look at the book and you say it's self-published. You know, when we, the Lord just gave us a lot of good advice from different quarters. When we got, when Raising Real Men came out,
yeah.
You know, it was treated as a regular, published by a big house book all over the country.
Right. And we could probably talk some more about that in a different context. But the point being that our desire to help families raise their kids, the desire to help promote biblical family life, led us into the publication business, and that publication business became our family's, really our income provider. This is what pays the bills. This is what we do now. And this all happened in the year that we had a lot of challenges with our daughter's health, and then late in the year, I was diagnosed with cancer, and we had signed contracts for about five conferences that year that we were going to be speaking at. So I asked my doctor, can I still do this? And he hemmed and hauled around. He basically said, well, if you feel up to it, you can go speak, but you can't be standing around in an exhibition hall shaking hands with people. Your immune system will be shot. And so this is where our sons stepped up to the plate.
Boy, they really did. You know, our older sons, we talked to them. We said, you know, here's the situation. Mom and Dad speak together.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad can't go to the booth after we speak. It's too dangerous. What are we going to do? And the guy said, we're going to run the booth. In fact, one of our sons was taking dual enrollment classes at a local college. He quit it. He said, mm-hmm. No, I've got to be with you guys. I've got to help you. And we went on the road, and the boys took it over.
Mm-hmm.
They would set up the booth. They'd run it the whole conference. They'd break it down at the end. They ran the booth. And that had I don't think we would have, if we hadn't been in that situation, we wouldn't have had, I think, the wisdom to hand that over to them. But it had a huge benefit. Because mm-hmm. I remember the first conference they did that. I think it was in Kansas City.
It was, yes.
And they came back to the booth.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, came back to the room after
right.
after the book fair was over for the day. And they said, guess how many copies of our book we sold?
Our book.
Now, they didn't write it. You know, it's about them and us, but
right.
They didn't write it, but they took ownership. And when your kids take ownership of your business, of your house, of the chores, everything changes.
It does. And that's one of the big benefits. I think the first thing that people see in our circles, in the homeschooling circles, the thing which we hear over and over again, you know, we want Dad to come home. We want our husband to come home and work from home. That's the main focus seems to be, we want Dad back in the household.
And I love working with you, and I love you being home, and our children have loved that.
Yes, and I love being here at home as well. But the benefits go way beyond having Dad in the house during the day.
They sure do.
And there were some unexpected things we got from that. But, you know, speaking of unexpected.
It's time for station break.
It is.
And I want to tell them about what we're bringing out just in the next 2 weeks. I'm so excited out.
This is going to be good. I'm looking forward to it for myself.
Yeah, I can't wait to go through it myself. We are going to be sponsoring, producing an entrepreneurship program led by our friends Philip and Carol Supretti. Mm-hmm. Now, these folks are really cool. Philip is a pastor and a businessman. Mm-hmm. Carol Sue is an adjunct professor at Montreat College in business and entrepreneurship and a homeschool mom.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys have got it going. They support their family with entrepreneurial endeavors. They're born teachers, and they are so funny. We holler and laugh every time we visit with
them. They are a delight. They're wonderful people, and they love the Lord. They love their family. They love what they do.
And now, we interviewed them a few months ago on this program,
right?
And that's one of our most downloaded programs.
Hmm.
People loved them. They loved hearing from them. And this is so cool. We have put together with the Prettys 3 5-week courses.
Okay.
They're going to be live online. Mm-hmm. And so you'll register, and then you'll come online, and you'll be able to see Carol Sue and Philip. You'll be able to see their slides, chat with other attendees. And they are going to hold your hand and mentor you through not talking about a business, not making you want a business, but through starting your business.
Okay.
I'm so excited about it.
Well, this
through
is
starting
be great.
Your business, making a profit, and making it long-term sustainable.
You know,
it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, the concept is you need to nurture this little thing that you're starting. You need to recognize it's not going to be big and strong as soon as you begin. It's going to be like starting a plant in a greenhouse. And so the title that we've chosen for this is the Family Business Greenhouse.
And today we are launching the website, familybusinessgreenhouse.com. Now head over there and take a look. Carol Sue and Philip already have a blog post up there. You can see their pictures. I've even got an outline of the first 5-week course up there where they can see exactly what they're going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
They can register. Head over there. You know, we're going to be in the class. Some of our sons are going to be in the class because we love these folks, and it's going to be fantastic because, you know what? It's practical. It's not just this pie in the sky. You ought to have family entrepreneurship. It's how to do it.
Isn't that really the key? And that's why we do this program. That's why we publish the things we publish. You know, we all get this vision thing. We all understand what we want a family business to feel like. We understand what we want a biblically ordered family to be like, but how do you get there? How do you make it happen? You got to take the steps. You've got to have a practical route in mind in order to get from vision to reality. And so that's what the Family Business Greenhouse program is meant to provide. To say, okay, yeah, you've got a vision. Dad comes home. The family works together. Everything is swell. Now, let's build it.
How can you do that? What are some good ideas? We're going to go through brainstorming, business planning. We're going to give you business planning tools for you and your kids. You can train your kids to be entrepreneurs through this program.
Mm-hmm.
You can start a business yourself. FamilyGreenhouse.com.
Family Business Greenhouse.
Thank you. FamilyBusinessGreenhouse.com.
Great.
Now, Hal.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit about the way we have wrapped the children into our business. You know, it has surprised me. My family was very open about our business stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about all the numbers. I remember balancing the business checking account when I was 14.
Right.
You know, I knew what was going on in the business. I knew how much we were making. My parents were just very open about stuff like that.
My parents were very, very protective of that. They felt like they wanted us to fit in with the community and school, frankly. They wanted us to fit in with our neighbors and not feel like we made more money than other people or made less money than other people. Frankly, I couldn't tell you to this day how much my father made and whether we were, you know, at a high end of the middle class scale or at a low end or what. I just knew we were comfortable and happy.
I know how much we sold the first day of our family business. I know how much we were selling on Saturdays later on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just different. We've chosen to wrap our kids into our business and just share with them what's going on. And that has had an unexpected benefit that just really surprised me.
What's that?
They've had great ideas.
They have. And some of that, you know, to a degree, there's a matter of giftedness. I mean, some people are better idea people than other, whether they're young or old, you know. But
oh, yeah. We've got a son that is just born an entrepreneur. He looks around the world and thinks of how to do it better.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got several that are that way. That they have lots of ideas, And we have adopted several of them because they just made good sense. He was perceptive enough to say, hey, this is a need. Why don't we fill it in this fashion? And that touches on something which I've noticed as well. You can teach your young people to think like an entrepreneur, to think like a business owner, even if their goal in life is to be a mom and a housewife, a guy working for somebody else in an office somewhere or in a factory. Having a business mindset is going to help you so much no matter where God has you working on a daily basis.
Well, I tell you what, the young man working in the convenience store mm-hmm. who treats it like it was his own business will soon be manager.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager will soon be a franchisee.
Mm-hmm.
Because the majority of people that just work for a wage, they act like what the Word of God talks about, hirelings.
In fact, that's a word we use around the house sometimes because we do use a lot of services and we do encounter a lot of people. And you can always tell, we had one trip last year, I guess it was, that I remember we needed a bag of ice. It was right at closing time and I pulled up at the convenience store and the employees met me at the door and locked it as I'm walking
in your face.
And I said, I just need a bag of ice. And they shout, we're closed. We're closed. They would not even open the door for a customer standing there with money in his hand.
Wow. And if the owner had seen that, they'd have been really angry.
Oh, indeed he would have. Now, on the other hand, we pulled up at another convenience store on another part of a trip, and we had pulled into the parking lot when we realized, oh, wait a minute, the lights are off or they're turning the lights off or something. We were about to leave. But then the lights all came back on. So we got out of our van and walked in. And
bought $100 worth of gas.
Right. And I'm just chatting with the man behind the counter and said, so are you the owner? He said, yes, I am. I said, we could tell.
Yeah.
Because he saw a big van pull up and said, they're going to need gas. They're going to probably buy a bunch of Mountain Dew and who knows what else. I think I can hang around another 10 or 15 minutes for these people.
And so even if your children end up working for somebody else, having a businessman's mindset will really bless them in their career.
What is that mindset? Well, that was one right there, serving a customer. The idea that the customer is not an interruption, not a burden, but your purpose.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons I like to fly Southwest Airlines, because their whole crew is on the ball. When I've had problems flying on other major carriers, not just the ones that are phenomenally bad, but just the average major carrier, the guy that handles luggage is focused on baggage. Everybody's got their own little blinders on. But when I've been on Southwest, I don't care what the problem was. If I was running late because I was stupid and didn't check my watch, if it's weather related, if it's something they can't help, everybody is focused on this concept. I got to get our customer from where he is to where he wants to be because that's why we're here. Okay? So service is the first thing.
And that makes a huge difference. And so that is something you can teach your children. You can teach them when you get bad service, say, if you own this business, would that employee get fired or promoted?
Mm-hmm.
And teach them to think about it from the business owner's standpoint.
So what do you think? Does this person own the business? Does this person have stock in the business? Or is this person just cash the paychecks?
And I just think that's a great thing to teach your children. And I have been interested in seeing how working in our business has worked into our adult children's lives. Because all three of our adult children are doing things that they either learned working in our business or have been a takeoff from what they learned in our business.
Right. Like our older son is doing high-end programming work based on skills that he started to learn in our family business.
Because we couldn't afford to hire someone to program our websites.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I'll learn how to do it.
So he taught himself HTML. He studied style sheets and formatting and ended up also studying other things which are critically important in the publishing business. So when he graduated from college, somebody scooped him right up and said, here, I've got a position that you would fit admirably. Let me train you on how I do it and come alongside. And so, and we've seen that Our second son is doing all kinds of work for different companies as a
marketing and video production, things even, he learned with us.
Even as a college student.
Yes.
Likewise, our third son is doing very similar things in his
doing
world.
Graphic design.
Right.
In fact, he's designed book covers just like the kind of work he did for us.
Yeah.
And so the things that you do together as a family, you know, some people today have an attitude that children ought not to work, that they ought not to have to work, that it's mean or something to make them work. But, you know, work really came before the fall. Carol, Sue, and Philip talk about that in today's blog post, Hal.
I can't wait to read it.
Yeah, work came before the fall. Work is not a bad thing.
No.
In fact, the Word of God says that a man should bear the yoke in his youth.
And that there is profit in all labor. And so these are great lessons to give your young people. And you've got to give them opportunities. You know, if you have a business or you have a business opportunity, bring them alongside. And that's one thing which I've been really blessed with is how much our people, our young people have entered into our business. And also you. It's not my business and you support it. You know, it's not your business and I'm working on the back end. But
it's not our business and the kids support it. It's our family's business.
This is a big family partnership going on.
Yeah.
Here. And
everybody treats it that way, and that makes a difference. You know, last night we're about to leave on a speaking trip.
Yeah.
And last night, one of our sons stayed up really late to help us produce some more inventory because he knew you can't sell it if you don't have it.
Yep. And we didn't have to push him or prod him. He just you know, got another glass of soft drink and said, "All right, let's go." He was on the ball and ready to. And so,
you know, that's one of the things I love about business is our children learn the connection between work and profit. They learn the connection between when you work hard, you get the money that you have that you want to spend on things. And I think that's hard when the money kind of appears from nowhere.
That's a very hard thing. And I know that I didn't have a firm grasp on it growing up. I wasn't a real spendthrift kind of kid. I wasn't a real high maintenance kid. But, you know, I didn't know how much money we had to spend. I didn't know how much money it would take to live. I remember when I went off to college, I got a kind of a small allowance. You know, it wasn't huge. And my father looked at me kind of with a sort of wry smile. He said, "I think you've got more disposable income now than I do," which I thought, there's no way. I mean, it was like $100 a month. How in the world? And then
but he was right.
When I got to be a grown up, I realized, no, I may be earning thousands of dollars a week, but I've got a mortgage. I've got power bills to pay. There's groceries. Oh, my word, the groceries. And, you know, understanding that as a child, I wonder how that would have changed my view of the world if I'd recognized how hard you have to work to keep up with the responsibilities that God has given you that you rejoice in, and yet they do have a cost and a burden that you need to carry.
Well, you know, I see our children when we're talking about buying things or producing things, getting shipped, or if we have to get something, for example, shipped a fast way because we didn't plan ahead, they're like, "We got to remember to plan ahead because this cuts into our profit margin." You know, I love that.
That's good, responsible thinking.
It teaches them to be responsible. You know, this has been great. I love talking with you about entrepreneurship. This is one of the passions of my heart.
Well, this is what we do. And it's nice to kind of step out of the framework of dealing with our customers and dealing with our business to say, well, what is this we do? You know, how do you go about this? And what can we tell people so that maybe if they're thinking about it, they can approach it with their eyes open, with a realistic view and expectation, and hopefully succeed at it.
Now, folks, won't you join us in the first course of the Family Business Greenhouse and learn how you can take those ideas and dreams and thoughts and make them reality? It's familybusinessgreenhouse.com.
Right.
We're producing it. Our friends, Philip and Carol Sue Pretty, are teaching it, and we're going to be in the class with you. So won't you join us?
When is that going to be meeting?
It's going to start on the 18th, so we've only got 10 days.
Okay, so it's going to be Thursday evenings.
Uh-huh, starting on the 18th.
What time does it start? Do you recall?
I think it's 8 p.m., but I tell you what.
That'll be Eastern.
Even if you can't be there, it's all going to be recorded.
That's right. If you've never been to one of our webinars, everything is recorded. You can see not only the video and listen to the audio and see the slides, but you've also got the chat window there, so you can see the conversation back and forth in the class.
Even on the recording.
And I know that this one's going to have a lot of interaction. There's going to be a lot of things students have to offer to ask about, well, here's my business idea, and how do I implement this? You know, how do I write a business plan? Do I need to get a license to do this for my home? You know, all those kind of things are going to be discussed.
And you can learn from the other students as well as from the pretties. Mm-hmm. Listen, come join the class with us. We're going to be there with you.
Mm-hmm.
FamilyGreenhouse.com. FamilyBusinessGreenhouse.com. FamilyBusinessGreenhouse.com.
There we go.
See you there.
All right. Well, look, we appreciate you joining us. You have been talking about making biblical family life practical, and we hope you'll join us again because next week we hope to have Carol, Sue, and Philip on here themselves.
Won't that be fun?
That'll be a
lot
of fun.
I love spending time with them.
They're great people. So look, we hope you'll join us again in our next episode as we continue talking about the blessing of being an entrepreneur with your entire family. All right.
See you next week, folks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.